Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and of course, before we get started with our main guest, I wanted to share a brand new segment that we're going to add to Bite Marks Cafe called The Catalyst, and I have Lemomi Bong here to tell us all about it. Lemomi, what's happening with this little segment that we've been kind of hatching over the last couple of months?
Right. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Super excited. I think it's taken a few different forms, but a segment that sort of highlights stories centering Hawaii, you know, not as proxy, but as a catalyst for solutions to Oceania's toughest problems. So essentially a segment that encourages tinkering, narrative shift, and owning our stories around technology and science here. Carrying on your legacy, essentially.
Right. So we, you know, I typically have this sort of short little segment in the beginning. And how would you describe how the catalyst might be presented?
Sure. You know, from in terms of, are you thinking in terms of topics or format more?
Yeah.
You know, I'm up at the Center for Indigenous Innovation and Social Impact, which is part of the Office of Indigenous Knowledge and Innovation at UH Manoa. And so kind of bringing in some of the stories that we get to contribute to, be a part of, or just hear about being in the university system, and then bringing them into this format of radio. Things we've discussed were everything from like broadband to data centers on an island, to talking with the folks at the Native Limu Lab at Symbrosia and seeing what they're up to, or even featuring professors who are receiving really incredible NSF grants in robotics and AI. Just kind of uplifting their wins while also kind of like plugging in as a community and gaining maybe a unified vocabulary and sort of like tech identity, which I think Bite Marks Cafe does really well. Folks like HTDC are also working on that narrative change. But we have so many unique projects, companies, conferences that happen here. We really should be creating more content around it.
Well, and you have the benefit of being on campus, and there's a lot of interesting discussions that take place over there. I mean, sovereign AI, we've talked about that, and just the sort of the intersection with Indigenous knowledge. So I'm really interested in some of the stories you will, you know, sort of ferret out and present. Now, in terms of format-wise, I can have you come on. You can produce a segment. And maybe what we'll do, what kind of frequency do you feel comfortable about, let's say, sharing on this weekly show?
I love a first week of the month, third week of the month. I think that could be a really great place for all of us to kind of start and begin. I'd also love to hear from community if there's more stories to cover. You know, maybe that frequency goes up, but definitely looking forward to being on here and you folks hearing my voice at least twice a month.
Okay, that's good. And yes, is there anything that's of particular interest to you outside of the fact that, you know, you have the benefit of, you know, working at the Office of Indigenous Knowledge? I mean, what is it that you are attracted to in terms of this sort of tech sector?
Yeah, the things I'm researching up at UH Manoa include understanding the practice around code design when it comes to technology. So really embedding with organizations or communities and trying to solve some of the problems and issues that they face through technology. And so I like to say it's putting Indigenous knowledge and innovation at the center of a tech flywheel and then using that to come up with new ideas for products or software, et cetera. So those are the things I'm interested in: Indigenous AI, robotics for agriculture, infrastructure is always a great topic to sort of break down for community, And I'm hoping to cover topics that the community is interested in as well.
And you've also spent a fair amount of time prior to your stint at the UH over at Purple Maya, right?
Yeah, I was at Purple Maya for a good solid 3 years. They do amazing works at that intersection as well, community and technology. So bringing all of that storytelling training that I got and received while I was there into this kind of like short format radio is something I'm really looking forward to.
Well, I'm excited to have you join us on Bite Marks Cafe, and I'm looking forward to your first production.
Yes.
And then maybe we'll get that in a couple of weeks, and we'll air it, and we'll see what the what the feedback is, and I'll definitely have you back on, and we can sort of evolve the catalyst, as a part of Bite Marks Cafe. So, mahalo le for joining us.
Mahalo nui, Bert.
Thank you, and of course, I'm going to also now introduce. We have Jennifer Potter, and she's with the Hawaii Natural Energy Institute, as well as Jackie Hoover, who's the chair of the conference, the Hawaii Energy Conference, and she is the conference program committee chair. And we're going to be talking about the Hawaii Energy Conference that's coming up later on in May. So I want to welcome both Jenny and Jackie to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha, Bert.
Thank you, Bert.
Thank you very much.
So
yeah,
both
aloha,
of you,
and thanks for having us.
And both of you have been involved with this conference for quite a while now. And Jackie, you're executive director of the Hawaii Island Economic Development Board. And how did you get involved with this energy conference? And I want to hear your story as well as Jennifer's story, because you folks have been involved for, like, I don't know, the last 13 years. How did Jackie, how did you get involved with this?
Mahalo, Bert. So I actually got involved because I have been involved in the energy sector for longer than I care to admit publicly, but I had the privilege of being with the Natural Energy Laboratory of Hawaii Authority for many years. And when the opportunity arose to participate at the Hawaii Energy Conference, I jumped at that. And it has been something that's been very important to me personally and professionally since then, and just really excited about everything that's happening. And what's really interesting right at the moment is we just heard from Lei Momi and what she's doing with respect to Indigenous knowledge and so forth. And one of the focus areas of our conference this year is resilience and sustainability, incorporating lessons learned from successful Indigenous projects here in Hawaii, in Aotearoa, and on the continental U.S. So we have speakers coming who are Maori, Native American, as well as Native Hawaiians. So I think it'll be something that's really exciting for everyone who does have the opportunity to attend. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because this is the 13th year of the conference, and every year we actually continue to provide opportunities to learn from each other and to work towards resilience, sustainability, and the resilience and the relevance, I should say, of the conference topics have continued to be something that every year we learn from, and every year we look forward to the next year to learning even more.
Well, I know, Jackie, you're on the Big Island, and Jennifer's on Maui, and this is kind of has been organized by MEDB, Maui Economic Development Board, for the better part of the last 13 years. And Jennifer, you've been involved for the most part, I think, all through that period of time. So I do want to give you a chance to tell your story about how you've been involved with the Hawaii Energy Conference. But we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Jenny Potter and Jackie Hoover about the upcoming Hawaii Energy Conference. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Honolulu Waldorf School.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Jenny Potter, She is with the Hawaii Natural Energy Institute, and we've got Jackie Hoover. She's the conference program chair, and we're going to be talking in a little bit more detail about what's happening with the Hawaii Energy Conference. And, you know, right before the break, Jenny, I wanted to give you a chance to kind of have you reflect on your role with the conference and how you've seen it over the, you know, the course of the 13 years evolving.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure to be part of it and an honor to be part of the conference for so many years. I've been a speaker on panelists. I've been a moderator. I've run deep dive conference sessions, and as well as sitting on the program committee. So I have played a role in all different areas of the conference, and it's just been an honor and a pleasure to do so. I was involved, and back when I first moved to Maui, I was asked to speak at the conference and have since then fallen in love because, you know, this isn't just an industry echo chamber. I mean, the community concerns, environmental priorities, economic realities, they're all part of the dialogue. And so being part of that conversation has always been, you know, something that all of us aspire to. And this has been the platform to do so.
You know, in terms of the kind of topics that are covered at the conference, and given the fact that in this particular time, you know, 2026, there's a multitude of factors, I guess, that come into play, everything from choosing now between, you know, things like LNG and fossil fuels. But there's also, you know, the sort of the geopolitical situation that's occurring. And we in this island state of ours are really impacted by how we get our, you know, fuel, how we get our energy. And so I want to give you, Jackie, a chance to kind of give us your sense of how this conference will help to address some of that. What is it that this conference wants to achieve, you know, given the challenges that we face, you know, in our community?
Well, honestly, Burke, before we even entered the Iranian war, of course, we were planning the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things we decided was the theme of our conference, and the theme became energy, power, people, and place. And given what you just said about the geopolitics of everything, affordability, access, and reliability, I think, you know, we were very forward-thinking and coming up with the three P's of power, people, and place. And besides the topics you just covered, regarding, you know, how the geopolitical situation is affecting us. As I mentioned earlier, we're including a large part of our discussion to be about resilience and sustainability. And I think closer to home, the recent Kona low storms that we had where, you know, I know that there were people in several parts of the state that were left without power for several days because of the impact of the storm. And so the distributed energy that we have in place, the opportunity to transition, for example, on Hawaii Island, if something affects the solar accessibility for the grid, where we can transition to geothermal and so forth, all of those things come into play. And one of the things that we're really focused on is looking at geopolitics and the geopolitical situation and looking at how have our neighbors globally been able to address some of the strategies and experiences and successes for that resilient, sustainable energy, reliable energy that we depend on. So I think that, you know, to the credit of the great people I have the opportunity to work with on the program committee, they're all very forward thinking and they're really looking at opportunities to incorporate lessons learned from around the globe that we can bring back to Hawaii while simultaneously recognizing the importance and uniqueness of our geography here, our climate here, and very importantly, our culture and people. So again, energy, power, people, and place.
No, that's great. And as the committee chair for this, you have people like Jenny who are working quite actively on sort of seeking out some of the key topics that you just brought up. So Jenny, I mean, you know, there are some, I guess, you know, varying challenges that we as an island state have to face. And what are some of the things that you are, let's say, best practices that you're wanting to present, you know, at the conference? Are there other examples in other Pacific Islands that we could learn from? Or, you know, are we pretty much kind of, I don't know, leading the charge, given the fact that we, you know, we have a fair amount of resources here? What are some of the things that you're bringing to the table that Jackie has to decide, you know, that's going to be actually presented at the conference?
Yes, thank you. Yes. You know, Hawaii is essentially an energy island laboratory, if you will. And it is on the cutting edge. What we've done here in terms of distributed energy resources and you know, and photovoltaics on homes, we have almost 50% of the homes have photovoltaics of single family homes. The penetration of utility scale solar has been increasing exponentially, and the utilities have been able to figure out how to interconnect those. And, you know, thinking about how this conference ties into that, it looks at some of the challenges. It says, you know, every year the stakes are evolving, and this conference, the conversation keeps up. And it's what we're debating, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, like the early RPS goals, is now shifted into how we actually do it. And one of the conversations that I'll be moderating is around LNG, as you mentioned earlier, and really bringing the stakeholders to the table, the ones that are making, you know, the discussion, that are making the case for LNG, and the ones that are really questioning whether it's a valid and reasonable decision for the state to pursue. We'll have them there. In those discussions, you know, this is one of the forums where disagreement is productive. You know, you hear those competing viewpoints, and that's where the real learning happens. And that's what we're inspiring for the audience to really bring to the table, too, is that they can walk away with, you know, the relationships matter as much as the panels do. And those conversations that people have after the conference are really what helps move our, you know, our energy laboratory forward.
You know, so you brought up LNG, and, you know, in the previous administration, Governor Ige was sort of against LNG, and in this administration, it's more for LNG. Now, I don't know, you don't have to express an opinion on one way or the other, but, you know, in terms of how you see the discussion going at the conference, how do you see that perhaps influencing what decision or what direction Hawaii takes as a result of having to choose one or the other? I'm talking LNG versus, let's say, fossil fuels.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what one of the things that we're able to do at the conference is to bring together people that are influencers. And one of them is actually JERA, who has made is making the case for LNG and stating they'll make the investments in Hawaii. And so we're going to hear directly from JERA. And this is an opportunity that really hasn't been presented yet. You know, JERA hasn't shown up on the stage in Hawaii and really made the case publicly about why they want to make this investment in Hawaii. And then we'll also have folks like Rep. Lowen, who's been listening to the community and been listening to many, many hearings, and where people have come up and made the case for and against LNG. And is really looking at this through the lens of how to power the people. And what are the considerations that lawmakers have at this point to really reflect on how LNG will affect Hawaii and its renewable goals? I mean, we do have a goal of 100% renewable, and LNG is seen as a bridge fuel. And is that an accurate statement? Is it really a bridge fuel? And I think that that's what we'll try and tease out at this panel, and really hopefully start dialogue among people that in the audience that haven't heard from these people before, and then they can go back, continue the conversation in their organizations and their agencies, and just be better informed about what this discussion is really about at the state level.
No, that's great. And Jenny, I do also want to give you a chance to maybe share a little bit about your thoughts on what the conference will cover in terms of renewable options as we move, you know, from 2026 and beyond. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Jenny Potter and Jackie Hoover about the upcoming Hawaii Energy Conference coming up in May. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Jenny Potter. She's with the Hawaii Natural Energy Institute. And of course, we've got Jackie Hoover, who's the chair of the conference program committee. And of course, we're talking about the Hawaii Energy Conference. And, you know, right before the break, Jenny, you're talking about some of the things that you would like to see as outcomes of the conference. And we talked a little bit about, you know, LNG. What about renewables? I mean, what do you see Hawaii's direction, you know, in terms of renewables? I mean, it's been largely, I guess, contributed to the fact that there have been tax credits and incentives to follow, you know, the renewable path. But, you know, given the perhaps elimination of some of the tax credits, do you see that as still being an option for households, you know, going forward?
I'm assuming, okay, I thought it was for Jackie, I apologize. Yes, so that's one of the things that this panel is actually going to discuss. There's a panel at the conference that's going to discuss this. It's looking at, you know, in particular, a utility scale solar and how prices are going to be influenced by, you know, by tariffs, by the lack of subsidies now and the incentives. And so that in a large scale as well as, yes, what are we going to do about the, you know, the tax credits that are being eliminated for families and homes? And that is going to drive the, you know, decision making, and it is probably going to reduce the amount of adoption that we see. And really, at a time when even Hawaii has set a very ambitious goals of 50,000 rooftop systems across the state in the next 5 years. So the governor set that in Executive Order 2501 and really indicated that we need to be full court press on distributed resources. And now with this, you know, reduction of incentives at the federal level, it makes state incentives even more important. So really seeing how this is going to play out is going to be really interesting.
You know, Jackie, you also have been, you know, on the Big Island. You've mentioned geothermal. What do you see as some of the kind of key topics at the conference that perhaps would leverage some of the natural resources that are available on the Big Island?
I think more so than just the geothermal and the portfolio of renewable energy that we have throughout the state of Hawaii, whether we're talking about solar or, you know, in the past, we've looked at ocean thermal energy conversion. We're looking at new opportunities using our ocean for energy. Of course, wind, hydroelectric, a lot of that comes into play. But for the conference itself, Bert, I think the comprehensiveness of the conference and really weaving together, it's not just energy unto itself, but, for example, we're doing a deep dive on water and energy. We have needs for potable water throughout the state of Hawaii, and we'll be having discussions on the energy challenge that talk about or that address feasibility, cost of technology when we're looking at, if, for example, desalination and other technologies to face ongoing water shortages. We're going to be talking about cybersecurity where energy is concerned. And we'll, you know, be having these discussions about things like permitting and policies. As I mentioned earlier, indigenous successes and success stories for renewable energy. And how do we create the workforce that is needed for the energy sector that we have today and the energy sector that we're going to be having tomorrow. So I think it's really important to focus on the fact that we do look at the people, the place, as well as just the energy, whether it's the grid or transportation fuels, renewable or fossil fuels. We look at things holistically, and we give attendees who come to the conference opportunities to really learn about different areas and figuring out how their specific area of interest intersects with other areas, so that we are having, for example, if someone's just, their focus is, as Leilani mentioned, technology, where do those technologies with AI, with cybersecurity, with IT, where do those intersect with the energy arena? And how does the energy arena then intersect with other areas such as cyber, such as, you know, indigenous people, culture, and so forth? So I really think that's a critical component of the way the conference has worked to really make it of interest and of value to everyone, not just those of us who work day and every day in the energy sector.
Well, Jackie, since you brought it up, I'm going to ask you, what is the conference kind of, how did it deal with energy as it pertains to data centers? I mean, that's becoming a real big issue, given the fact that there's more and more requirement for servers, and you brought up AI. I mean, you know, there's so much demand for getting responses from AI servers. What does the energy portfolio look like, you know, with respect to Hawaii and data centers?
So I'll give you an example of, using Hawaii Island, because we do have the only currently operating geothermal facility in Hawaii. But there, as you know, are ongoing conversations about bringing new facilities on board. And one of the components of that discussion is new technologies, new processes, so that what we know from what we've done to date, how are things streamlined? What are the new technologies, the new equipment used, et cetera? Are there ways of being less intrusive? And so if you think about geothermal and the opportunities that arise to provide the energy for the cooling that you need for a data center, for example, because you have a lot of computers there. So besides just the energy to power the computers and so forth, there's a high need for cooling the center. So
Jackie, I know you got a really long answer for me about data centers. I'm sorry that I asked you so late in the show, but I want you to tell us, where can we go to find out more information about the Hawaii Energy Conference?
That one's easy, Bert. HawaiiEnergyConference.com.
Very
all
good.
All spelled out.
Very good. Jenny Potter is the faculty energy specialist over at the Hawaii Energy Natural Energy Institute. And of course, Jackie Hoover is the chair of the conference program committee for the upcoming Hawaii Energy Conference. And hey, both of you, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the growing need for digital safety. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training.